Brother Hansen from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to start a new study. And I know we've done this about, 20 times, probably, the book of the Revelation. But we're going to look at it again because we get a blessing when we read it. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that those that read it are blessed. We're going to start again, but we're going to attack this at a little bit different way of than we have before. We're going to somehow try to make the book of the Revelation a little bit more palatable, a little bit more understandable. So we're going to be reusing several different media forms and several different books and things like that to make it a little bit more understandable. First of all, many books of the Bible can be, you know, read, enjoyed, and reasonably understood by people with very little background in biblical studies. Of course, the more Bible study the reader has, the more the reader will understand. Even if a person knows little about being a shepherd, for example, there's still meaning in the words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Not so with the book of the Revelation. The average reader looks at the Revelation and sees a great, confusing jumble of symbols and images which appear and make no sense whatsoever. Yet so much is known about the book and its contents, things about which we can reasonably regarding the overall message of the book, if not the meaning of the specific images, that it should not be a mystery to us. It's the task of deciphering Revelation's images is not made any easier by widespread traditions about the book, which see it as a forecast of the end of the world. Perhaps you were asking, well, isn't it? While a simple yes or no would be the answer to that question, it wouldn't tell the most important part, why. To start out our study on the Revelation, we should begin as we do with any other book of the Bible. There are certain questions we should ask, certain things we need to know in order to interpret the book properly. These common sense questions include: what kind of literature is the book of the Revelation? Not all the books of the Bible are the same type of literature. We find history, short story, parable, drama, poetry, hymns, sermons, tracts, letters, special kind of biography we can call the Gospels, and others. And who wrote the book? When was it written? And who first received it and read it? The identity of the author may help us compare it with other biblical writings, leading to a greater understanding. Knowing when a book was written and who first read it can help us understand historical references, identify the purpose for writing it, decipher references, and the author makes it to current events and actually links it to their time that they live. What was the author's basic message? What was his purpose in writing? As we read a biblical book, we employ the scientific method. Based on our reading, we formulate a theory about a book's basic message and purpose. Further study leads us to modify or confirm our theory and helps explain difficult passages. Perhaps it would be helpful if we applied these basic questions to a book which is much less difficult to understand, but about which much more is known for certain. Here are answers to these questions as applied to the book of Galatians. The form of literature, the Galatians isn't really a book, but a long letter. It follows the standard outline of a letter as used in those days, with one exception, which has to do with the author's mood when he wrote it. Knowing what the standard outline of a letter was in those days, as well as comparing this to other letters St. Paul wrote, helps us to know that the author left out a section, usually included in a letter. Author, date, original recipients. St. Paul wrote the letter to the Christians in the churches in the region of Galatia, meaning either the Roman province of Galatia, or more likely what we would call northern Turkey. He wrote it to in the mid to late 50s AD, at a time when a group of Jewish Christians called by scholars Judaizers. They were Judaizers, and they were trying to force the new Gentile Christians into practicing Jewish rituals and laws, and trying to get them back into the law, which was a bad thing, actually. The purpose and the central message, St. Paul's basic message to the Galatians, is that the Christ, they have been set free. In Christ, they've been set free from the need to earn their salvation by obeying a set of laws and rules and things that efforts in good things to do. Their salvation came through a different avenue rather than trying to earn it. These obedience to laws, it's good, but it's not going to save you. However, he takes the opportunity to warn them not to use this freedom as an excuse to behave like a devil, or to just disobey, blatantly disobey God, and do as they please. In this example of the letter to the Galatians, we see that it would be very important to investigate, read between the lines, and learn much as possible about the Judaizers, because this letter was written mainly in response to their teachings and claims. And now, to ignore this information would be to ignore the very reason why the book was written. It's the same with the book of the Revelation. We must ask these same basic questions, reading between the lines, in order to try to discover the purpose and the message of the author of this mystifying book. Only then can we find that the door leading to understanding is not permanently locked after all. And only then can we begin to learn the keys to opening the door of understanding. This question of this question is perhaps the most important to answer for the book of the Revelation. What kind of literature is the book? What kind of literature is it? It holds the biggest key to discovering the answers to the other two questions. How do we go about identifying the type of literature of the Revelation? we must assume the role of Sherlock Holmes by identifying clues, lining up and questioning suspects, and seeing what we get when we piece it all together. The first clue, prophecy, what clues are found in the Revelation that will help us identify its type of literature? One of the first clues is found in chapter 1 and verse 3. Now that's that the writer calls the book of the Revelation a prophecy. A prophecy. This immediately brings up a problem. Most people think of a prophecy as some kind of a prediction or a forecast of the future. Although that is what the word means now, it isn't necessarily what the word meant in biblical times. A prophecy, as someone once put it, is not a foretelling, but it's a forthtelling. F-O-R-T-H, forthtelling. In other words, in a prophecy, the speaker is telling forth the thoughts of God. As the speaker, or the writer, in this case, John, has been led by the Holy Spirit to know them. Prophecy is not really forecasting the future. The classic pattern of an Old Testament prophecy is this: thus says the Lord, in the past, I freed you from slavery in Egypt and led you into this land as I promised I would. Here I made of you a great nation. However, now you're being unfaithful. Here the speaker would list the ways in which they're being unfaithful. Therefore, if you continue in your unfaithfulness, this is what I'm going to do. And this is here the speaker tells God's intentions. However, if you repent and return unto me, I will protect you, and you will be a great, you'll be great like your ancestors. Notice how the emphasis is on the present, on the times and the events of the speaker. The part which we usually think of as a forecast is not a prediction at all. It's a conditional statement of what God intends to do with Israel's choice of being the determining factor. So we got to look at the determining factor, which is the choice that the people make. And this is what's going to happen if you do not repent. And we just finished the book of Jeremiah, all of the chapters of Jeremiah, which was conditional, actually. Most of the prophecies and the predictions of Jeremiah were conditional. But the conditions were never met. They were never changed. They didn't change their minds at all. So the conditions never changed. So the predictions that Jeremiah had and the prophecy and the foretelling, actually, in that case, foretelling of the future, came to pass. And the people soon went into exile into Babylon. So we notice the emphasis on the present, on the times and events, the part we usually think of. So also Revelation, the emphasis in the book is on the situation of the writer and his readers. The writer describes for his original readers their situation from God's perspective and then announces what God intends to do about it. He proclaims the rewards of those who are faithful and endure. And he proclaims God's warnings and intentions to destroy the wicked. Now, if we go into it with this particular we may change the whole thinking of our understanding, actually, of the book of the Revelation. I can see we're out of time. We're going to continue this on tomorrow. And I hope that this gives you a little bit of understanding on the book of the Revelation, because it's, you know, even though we've been through it 20 times, there's still so much to learn, and we never learn it all. Put that down in your spirit. Well, that's our time for today. Go into our website, krciradio.com. Shoot us an email. Let us know you're listening. And also write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.